Lord, we thank you for the purity of the snow. Lord, we thank you that we can behold your glory as your sun rises upon that pristine whiteness. And we can be renewed and refreshed by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you that the creation does declare your glory. So, Lord, we come in all humility and expectation that you would just guide us into all truth, that a word in season here, Lord, would just strike the mark in our hearts, that we would be more and more like you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sitting under your Spirit of revelation and instruction. And we just give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, actually, I need you. Tansy mentioned last time that there was just something about judgment that we were discussing in the previous session at the end of session 12. She wanted this up there, so I put it at the top of your page. Yeah, yeah.
I was just going to ask, is this what it was?
This is what it was, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this was, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you, that we shall be judged with greater strictness. So, judgment is real, but we shall never know the fullness of God's forgiveness until we see the fullness of our sin. For now we see in a mirror dimly. That applies to us individually as we view our sin. At the judgment, we shall know the fullness of our sin, that we would know fully the immense cost of our sin upon Jesus. In this, surely, our need for him and our love for him will be further magnified. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Jeff, I read something on Friday, or yesterday, I guess, on sin. And it was saying that we'll never be forgiven for sin that is not sin. So, like, if the accuser comes and accuses you of something and keeps dredging something up and calling it sin, and you keep, like, going before the Lord all upset because you're afraid you haven't forgiven because you have strong emotions about something, you're never going to be forgiven for that. That you have to come to the understanding that it's Satan that's doing that to you. That it isn't the Lord. It's not conviction, it's condemnation. Accusing you. And so I'd never heard it put that way before, because I have something that over the years I've struggled with. And sometimes a name is mentioned and raw emotions will just, like, well up. And I get very upset by that and think that I haven't forgiven. So I go back and I never get anywhere with it. That's the thing. I never get anywhere with it, but the Lord had showed me that the raw emotions are, it's okay to feel that way, like how he felt in the temple.
Oh, wow.
The anger, how he felt when he called people a brood of vipers. You are going to have an emotional response to something that is wrong. And even though you've forgiven that person, it can come up again.
Yeah.
But that, it's what you do with that.
Yeah.
And so if you always go and say to the Lord, Lord, I've released that person. I ask you to bless that person and guide that person because they're your creation. That's it. It's not that you've sinned again.
By having the emotional response at the name.
Right.
Boy.
And I just thought.
It's a good word.
I had the Lord reveal that to me, and then I had that whole thing about you're never going to be forgiven for those things that you're accused of.
Yeah.
Stop going in that direction.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was a real relief.
That's freedom, isn't it?
Yeah, it was freedom. It was freedom.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, session 13. Welcome. We're going to study today James 3, 6 through 12. And would someone read that for us? 6 through 12.
My eyes aren't doing this.
And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh.
Okay. So in the previous session, James introduced us to the truth that authentic faith must not only be evidenced by works wrought in Christ, but by speech that honors Christ, necessitating the Holy Spirit's control of the tongue. And so in this session, we shall plumb the depths of the darkness and dire consequences of having an unbridled tongue, solely really to provide us motivation to surrender our tongues to the Spirit's control. I mean, that's really what it is. He goes so deep and so dark here. It is a very, very compelling section here. So, let's look at verse 6. Now, he has introduced verse 6 really in verse 5 when he says, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Remember, we spoke about how the boasting is the key. You're either boasting about what you're going to do so that you look good, or you boast about what you've done and you get all the glory and none goes to God. So boasting every time. We boast in the Lord.
Right.
That's the only boasting that we should ever even look into. So we know that the tongue is a little member and it sets ablaze a forest. But go on with that. Now, how is the tongue like a fire? Why is that such an apropos analogy?
I think of fire and how it spreads.
Yeah.
It's you get lose control of it and just you can't keep up with it.
Yeah, it has an energy to it.
Yeah.
That's spreading.
It does terrible damage.
And it, yeah.
It's like if you bear false witness to somebody, you know, like if somebody says something to you about somebody and it's a lie, even when it's discovered it's a lie, somehow it's in there.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't get...
It's very hard. You know, have you ever had somebody say something about somebody and then they come into your church and they become, you know, and you have a hard time just trusting or opening up to them or believing them, or it just, I mean, God can work it out. But it's really deadly when somebody has said something about another person's character that isn't true. I just think it's like the worst thing. Because it's hard to really get rid of.
Yeah.
And then it hurts relationship, it hurts peace. it destroys the unity. It's the worst.
Yeah, I think the other thing too with the analogy of fire, because we've known like three people fairly close to us that have all had fires, and all of them total losses, and it just doesn't leave anything behind. You're absolutely helpless. There's absolutely nothing you can do to try to stop it, slow it down, or anything. You know, and it can be the same thing with when something gets started amongst people, it seems like no matter what you do, you can't stop it. It's almost like it has to run its course until something stops it, and it just kind of burns out. People get tired of it before you can start that rebuild process. So it's like once it starts, you can't stop it. It's like the fire is such a great analogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Remember years ago when you had Bible study at your house, Cindy did a thing with, she just took some papers and went like this and then lit it, and like there was like three or four balls of paper in there. Whew, like less than 30 seconds. That's always stuck with me.
Was this inside or outside?
Yeah, no, in your off your kitchen there. Like your den or something. Yeah, we were all sitting on the floor, like, and I remember that. Just, wow.
Yeah, the guy that writes the commentary that I've been using, he says, like the smell of smoke on the garments, the stench of spoken wickedness remains your experience long after the word is spoken. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Isn't that true? You're haunted by what you have said or by what has been said to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you may have had a parent that never laid a hand on you physically, but just completely trashed you with the words from that are wicked. So anyway, so there's this uncontrolling, long-lasting effect that we're looking at. So again, you know, all to help us not go there. Mm-hmm. How is it? He goes on, he says, the tongue is an unrighteous world among our members. That world, what is he? How is the tongue like an unrighteous world? Does anybody remember the word, the Greek word is cosmos? Does anybody know how it's used in other parts, like in Romans? Do not be conformed to this cosmos, this world.
It's the kingdom of darkness, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's the present world system that's headed and driven by Satan. So when you see this cosmos in Scripture, that's where it is coming from. It's really identifies the horror of the fall in our present experience. So the tongue, the unbridled tongue, is a member of this cosmos, this world system. And you know, if you have of all the slander and wickedness and things that have been said all throughout history, if you trace it back far enough, you'll find a satanic origin. You know, something that slips out of my mouth, you go back, well, that comes from what? From a mind that is not renewed, from a heart that is desperately wicked, and which comes from, you know, the fall, which comes from Satan speaking. I mean, you can trace every wicked word all the way back to that moment.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
How did you just put that? Sorry. Trace it back, that wicked word, to an unrepentant heart, or no, a unregenerated heart?
Yeah, just an unregenerate mind and a heart that is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, going back to Jeremiah. Actually, we're going to go there. So this is really, it is an unrighteous world. It is. The unbridled tongue. So, do you have a verse?
No, not yet. Thank you.
Okay. So how does the tongue unbridled stain the whole body? Talk to me about that one.
Well,
means this little thing in your mouth. Why is your whole body stained? That's quite a...
Well, if you have the Holy Spirit, your whole body ends up being upset. Mm. I mean, and thank you, Jesus, for that.
Yeah.
He just makes you sick.
Yes.
It's like a little leaven.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it true that your reputation is at stake every time you open your mouth? Mm. Either one way or the other. You know, if you speak words of grace and humility and encouragement to others, I mean, what are they going to think? They're going to think, well, what do you know? This guy's pretty cool. Whether believers or not, it doesn't matter. You know, and if you speak words of arrogance, wickedness, and demeaning, people are going to think you're a jerk.
Well, we were talking about that in the Colossians study. It's like, you know, in the workplace, like, you just have to determine that you are never going to enter into the gossip.
Oh, boy. What a...
No matter how much you just want to go, yeah, and you know what?
And you know what, yeah, and you know
you
what.
You just never enter in because you are an ambassador for Christ there.
Oh, that's good for
you. And that is the most important thing to keep in your mind.
Yeah.
And that will sully your, you know, it just will sully.
That's the word, isn't it? Sully? Mm. I hate that word, but it's definitely the word. It's like you see dirt and grease mm-hmm. all over the picture of who you are. Just So, yeah, a couple of verses there. Jeremiah 17:9. Could somebody read that? And then Matthew 12, this one, 34b. I mean, Jeremiah speaks the truth about the essence, but these are the words of Jesus about what we're up to with our tongue. And I'm like, oh my heavens.
I read something, and I can't find it, in Proverbs this morning about he who follows his heart is a fool. Mm. I thought that was really good. And then there's the second part, of course, which I can't remember, which is why I was looking it up, but it was something about he who follows righteousness will be, I don't remember, but I thought about that as, like, you know how they always say, well, what does your heart say, honey? You know, well, if you follow your heart, you can't just follow your heart. Right?
It has to be a heart that's what?
Well, yeah, you have to go to the Lord with your heart and bring it and say, my heart is desperately wicked, and I know I'll pick the easy way out, or the, you know, what is it you're calling me to do, and say, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So. But anyway, Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things.
Yeah.
And desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Hmm. I mean, above all things.
Incurably sick is the translation I have.
Oh.
Instead of desperately wicked.
Doesn't that...
Incurably sick.
Wreck you? My little heart? Is that? Hmm. Yeah. Apart from Christ. I think it was Alan Redpath said that if you withdrew the grace of God, the general grace and the specific grace... Yeah, the specific is for those who believe the general grace was just his presence, you know, maintaining some kind of order in this world that is his, but is headed and driven by Satan. If you withdrew all of his grace, you would see incredible depravity, like before the flood, when all the evil, their thoughts were just evil continuously. Genesis 6:6, boy, I'll tell you. So we don't know how wicked is. We see little bits and pieces in the newspaper, and then we see our own struggle, you know, and our minds and stuff, but the heart is desperate, you know, beyond all things. But yeah, that just is so incriminating for us.
You see the warriors coming back, like, you know, Michael Zott and some of the warriors coming back from the war, and you know, they have a look in their eyes. They know, you can see it in their face that they have seen things that you've never seen.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And they really need healing, you know.
Yeah. And how about Matthew now, 25, or 12, 34b to 37? Got it, Tance?
I grabbed the wrong glasses myself.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
I'm in charge.
Mine is bigger.
You're going to be our reader.
I'll be the reader.
Yeah.
Let Bill do it.
Don't get a headache.
Okay. 34B. Sorry.
Oh, 34B?
12, 34B.
12, 34B.
See?
Yep.
Okay, sorry.
For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
So if you say, if you get up there and say, I did this and I did that, sayonara.
So how do you understand that? Because there's a song that I hear from, I think, Third Day. It says, one of these days I will stand in judgment for every word that we have spoken. How do you understand that? That's going to be a long judgment.
You gave the explanation.
I think it's right up top.
Yeah, but it's also here.
I mean, remember, we're outside of time.
Right. Okay.
So it's going to be the...
I'll block out
the cosmic roast.
But on the other hand, it's all under the blood.
It is. See, so, that's the key.
Yeah.
Is there a differentiation between transformed man and sinful man in this?
That's kind of weird.
I mean, because I'm kind of seeing that, but I don't know. That it's like, because when it says, the verse that we just read in Jeremiah, it says, and beyond cure. Our heart's not beyond cure. God can change our heart.
Transform our heart. And you know what? Our sins are in a sea of forgetfulness.
Yeah.
Now, is that contrary to... I don't know. When I wrote this thing at the top, I'm not totally sure about this. I don't think it's in Scripture that all your sins... I mean, Jesus says what he says here.
Yeah.
You're going to give account to everything. So I really feel like there's going to be a thoroughness of this judgment.
But I think...
But it's all under the blood.
Right, because you clarified it last week when you said it's only going to intensify... our love,
yes,
for God's plan, yeah. Jesus' sacrifice, yeah. And the washing that we are forgiven. It's not going to be to shame us.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Because the whole point of everything was intimate relationship with the Lord, no more shame, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense that there would be anything where we're sitting there going... Right?
It doesn't. Right. Well, what about this day on this time? He's not an accuser. Who's the accuser?
Right. So it doesn't, when you really, really, really look at it, it doesn't make sense that. I know. It just doesn't make sense.
This keeps pointing me to our confession.
Okay.
That's what it keeps pointing me to.
Where are you at?
Well, just reading in Matthew, you know.
Okay.
You know, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's something about our confession that's important here. By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. And I thought right away of Romans 10, you know, where it says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Hmm. Beautiful.
And that's Romans 10:1?
And yeah, 8-10.
That's excellent.
Kind of pulls it together.
Right.
So
the test, I wish I could say this properly, but I think I've said it before. But, you know, it talks about how we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. You know, so our testimony is just testifying personally to what the word of God says that the blood of Jesus has done for us.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Right.
So if our confession is, this is, I'm standing on this. You know, this is what Jesus did for me. This is what the word says. I'm going to court with this.
Yeah.
You know?
I've got the best lawyer in town.
Yeah.
Because the sheep and the goats, they were all believers. They all believed that Jesus came and died for their sins. Hmm. But the goats believed in their good works. Mm-hmm. More than they
believed. I never knew. Yeah. Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not this?
I
never knew.
That is so frightening.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
That Matthew 25. That is a barn burner. Yeah. That makes you tremble and examine yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, what really is going on in my heart? So, excellent reflection. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, this is what I mean. You guys. All right, what do you think James means when he states that the tongue sets on fire the whole cycle of nature? And that is such a phrase. There's other translations of this. Does anybody else have a different? For cycle of nature. Does anybody else have something else? That makes sense.
I don't know if this makes any sense, but this was my first thought, is that so a little person is getting up in the morning and going outside, and somebody comes and says something to them, and all of a sudden they're in a prison of that thought, and they're blinded to God, they're blinded to the beauty around them, and they're not grateful because they've just been tarnished and messed up and thrown in a prison. I mean, have you ever had that happen to you?
Gosh.
You get a phone call or somebody comes and says something, and you were walking with the Lord, you were glorifying him, you were noticing his creation, you were all this, and then all of a sudden you're messed up. And so in that respect, like, the whole cycle of nature is like it's like you said about we are to be celebrating what God has done and how he is impacting all of creation. And that stops that celebration. Because we go into a dark place of confusion, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's not what you meant.
No, I think that is what is meant here.
Okay.
If the translation for cycle of nature is actually the wheel of Genesis. And it's really the course of life in human history. And it's the tongue. It's the, you know, of everything that's been done. I mean, there's so many hideous things that have been done. But here, James is coming down on it's a whole nother level. You know, even talking individually about your effect on a group of people or something, but it's just a reflection here. Individuals all throughout history take up their positions within humanity and speak the words from hell. words of lust, suspicion, envy, rivalry, hatred, war, arrogance, slander, words that are demeaning and disparaging, words that hurt and cripple others and serve to alienate them and humiliate them. And, you know, this little one that walked out the front door and then gets slammed with, and that's exactly what happens.
Right.
They're alienated, they're humiliated, they're crippled, I mean, they're blinded until the rescue comes. And this is human history. This is...
Over and over again.
Yeah. So... And then, you know, James never runs out of gas here. He just keeps on going. And finally, he's sustaining the whole body, setting on fire the whole cycle of nature, and set on fire by hell. And hell is the word for hell in the Greek that he uses here is Gehenna. Does anybody know anything about Gehenna? Because now we finally have come to the root cause of this whole section. What is Gehenna?
Is it Satan himself? Because that's the only thing that can bring corruption, really.
Well, yeah, it is Satan. It's
is it where the old in the Old Testament where the unrighteous went?
Yeah, well, sorry. What went on? There was something that went on there. It was just the peak of hideousy. All right, Gehenna is Greek for hell, and Gehennom, Gehinnom, is derived from Gehenna in the Greek. And Gehennom was the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was the place where the high place of Topheth was erected. T-O-P-H-E-T-H. Does anybody know what happened in that place?
T-O-P-T-H?
T-O-P-H-E-T-H. Topheth.
That's where... Forget about it. That guy.
Forget about it.
Vitti?
Lou Vitti.
What about
Topheth Road? I remember you went, ooh, Topheth Road, and I've always been nervous about Topheth Road.
I would not want to live on that road.
I'm trying to think of somebody in the Bible.
No, Lou Vitti.
You know, thinking...
Forget about it. Well, don't forget about this. Topheth was an altar upon which children were burned in sacrifice to heathen gods. Hmm. So there, I mean, within the nation, the people gave themselves over to the heathen gods and would burn their children. And that, if you realize the significance that a human being is the apex of God's creation, then really the deepest part of hell would, that would be a pretty solid revelation of how awful hell really is. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Gehenna, Gehinnom, Hinnom, Topheth. And you can look at it in, it's in Leviticus. I don't know where it is. So, anyway, we see this incredible thing that we're dealing with the tongue. You know, how, you know, the tongue unbridled then is really a source of great wickedness, ruining human experience. Satan finds within us this ready avenue that is extremely useful to him in destroying relationships and destroying ourselves. And the only defense against this activity is what Mark pointed out 2 weeks ago. He just said it's a new heart and a renewed mind that is in Christ. That's the only defense, is a renewed mind and a renewed heart. There's none other. Anything less than Jesus is going to fail. You will be out there flaming and burning. And I just, if there's anything that comes out of this whole session, we have to see our absolute 100% dependence on the Holy Spirit to have control of our tongue. 24/7. That's the high call. And so then I just love this. 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, sea creature, whatever, can be tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no human being, can tame the tongue. And then we get back into the dark again, a restless evil full of deadly poison. We just can't stay out of the pit here.
So only surrender to the Holy Spirit.
That's it, yeah. So what is this? What's the irony that James is presenting in 7 and 8 there? What is so ironic about this? Do you know what I mean by irony? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's so pitiful about this? That we can what?
But it's the irony of life. It's the irony of being a human being, isn't it? Yeah. It's like you can...
We can rule everything, but you can't rule the smallest thing.
Yeah. Or you can be a blessing, or you can be a curse.
Yeah.
Or you can follow God, or you can follow Satan. I mean, it's like there's no... You know, you're either or. And there's no halves, even though we think we can...
Yeah.
There is no half.
Yeah.
It's the sheep and the goats. Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never knew you.
Four.
Yeah.
Realize that the only thing that sins in this creation is a human being. I don't know if I mentioned this. I heard this marvelous sermon on creation. And it was all about how creation is continuously singing praise to God.
It really
continuously.
Is. Yep.
Even a tornado sings praise to God, though it's destroying the heck out of the earth. The only thing that does not continuously sing praise to God is a human being. That's it. And when we are saved, we join in this great anthem of praise that has been going on since the beginning of the world. We just join in.
Wow.
It's all been going on there.
Wow. Interesting thought.
Oh, God. Like, what
we are the picture of rebellion against everything else in the universe.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is. Oh, man, when that was Redeemer Presbyterian, who's the guy? He's so good. I don't know. Blanking on his name. But, yeah, that really struck me so
long.
These... these verses, Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 9:2, it's all about, you know, God saying you will have dominion over, you know, man is created in our image.
Wow.
And you will have dominion over the seas and the animals will be afraid of you and blah, blah, blah. But, gosh, even the dirt glorifies God.
No. Isn't there anything better than like walking in... dirt that's been with bare feet that's been heated by the sun.
I mean, I once heard when Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ox cart that had the Ark of the Covenant when it was being brought back to you know, from the Philistines. I heard that, remember, he was struck dead as
right.
soon as he put his hand on that cart, and it's because who was he? You know, even the dirt that ark would fall on was more holy than he was. Yeah, it was kind of a severe.
But God must have really made it very clear to him he wasn't to do that, right?
Well, see, that's what, there was a very specific commandment about how that ark was to be taken, and he violated that commandment.
Right.
That's why he got nailed.
So it wasn't just an impulsive act, right?
Well, who knows his heart? I've always struggled with that scripture, but, you know. But the point is, when God makes the rule, it's there. And there's going to be judgment. Now, we are in Christ, but the rule for us is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we're just, I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't know if us is going to be in heaven or not. We know that God knew his heart when he reached out and what kind of a spirit, you know, was in him. And who knows? Maybe it's just to make us tremble.
Yeah. It could definitely be.
It could be just one of those.
Trembling
moments. So, now, what about restless evil? So, everything can be tamed, but no human being, can tame the tongue. A restless evil full of deadly poison. What is that? That brought to mind to me a certain animal. But maybe it's just... Yes, it brought to me a snake. I just could see it twisting, you know, it just... And, you know, it can kill you, the viper. So again, we're just inexorably being led back to a satanic base to this whole thing. I mean, even the tongue itself is, you know, is snake-like. You know, it's not like a leg or a... eyeball. It's just,
but it's almost as if, like, you know, the restless evil is never satisfied.
Okay, go ahead.
It always needs something else, because there's no freedom, nothing in evil that gives you satisfaction. So you always look for the next thing. And we know the only place that you can find that is in Christ.
Wow.
Where we become liberated, where we become controlled, and so to me it's just evil, just it breeds itself because there's never any satisfaction in it. They're always looking to some, you know, whether it's something more evil or
boy, well spoken. And just look, you know, just look at what happens. And when you dabble in drugs and you go deeper, pornography, you go deeper, I mean, money. I want more. I mean, there is no sex.
No,
there isn't. Power,
no
money, sex, drugs, all of the wicked things are bottomless pits.
Yeah. And the Lord, you go to the Lord with an honest heart, and it's almost like he just goes like this to your heart, and you just settle. It's like such a wonderful... It's the only place you can get that.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
You know, it's funny, you talk about the snake here. You know the words. Remember, they used to get snakes for their son, for pets.
I remember hearing that about that.
And that always bothered me. I was like, what in the world? I mean, I never said anything, but I used to think inside. I used to think, what in the world? Yeah. And the other night, it was a study. You weren't there. We've really gotten to see Bill Wurz talk about being in a small group. It really touches my heart, because I just have never known who Bill Wurz was, really. You know, we've gone out with them socially, but it's always the two of them. But I've never known who Bill really is, right? And my gosh, we're getting to see who he is. He's opening up his heart, and we're like, I mean, it makes me cry. He's a real gentle, gentle man. And anyways, he's incredible. But anyways... somehow the snake thing came up as we were standing at the door, and you know, I just said, "Yeah, I never understood you with the snakes." And he said, "Ah," he said, "it was horrible." He said, "I am so frightened of snakes," and she is too. But it was somebody, I guess, in their church who raised them or something, and who, I guess, Eric had an allergy or something and wanted a pet, and this guy kind of got to Eric and was kind of telling him, this will be, you know, and kind of turned him on to snakes. Not that it was a bad thing, I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but See, all these years, I've just kind of like had a little check in my spirit. And the Lord took care of that the other night. Aww. I mean, it was so beautiful because he was going, oh, he said, we'd go over there, snake thing. He said, I was just like, oh. And he said, I was so frightened. And Diane was saying the same thing. And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, they just did this out of complete love for their son.
For their son. Wow.
Complete love. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't have. I would have said, you're not having it, and that's the end of it. But is it so beautiful?
It is. I love his spirit, too. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, all these years that, you know, Diane's been, you know, pursuing what she's pursuing, and it builds us. He's free. To let her do that, and he's free to come here.
Absolutely.
And their marriage is gorgeous.
Yeah. They're so beautiful
it's all good.
Together. They're,
yeah.
It's really.
I just think that is just lovely. Yeah, he's by the door there handing out those. All right, well, let's finish up. Just, I put before you some scriptures. And let's just go around in the room and read these. Bill, you take Ephesians is just huge when it comes to how we speak. Because remember, this is all about, Ephesians is what? It's Christ and the church. So guess what? The words have a lot to do with the church. So it's not surprising that Ephesians is loaded with stuff. So why don't you do 4:22-25, Mark 4:15. Oh, you can't see. Bill, go ahead. You read them all.
Yeah, come on now.
Okay. Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's 22:25. And Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ.
See, look at... This is body life here. This is, I mean, this is speaking in, again, this is Christ and the church in Ephesians.
Yeah.
But, and then 4:29.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
All right, and then 3:16 of Colossians.
Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Yeah. And I'll do these last two.
Okay.
But see that. You know, see. We've looked at the dark side.
Yeah.
Well, look at the upside now.
Right.
I mean, wow. How powerful is the tongue when it's in the hands of the Holy Spirit, to promote body life, to speak to one another the truth and love, to upbuild one another. I mean, oh my, you know, this is the grace that we have in Christ. And then Psalm 34, this is inside, outside. So 34:13, again, this is Old Testament, but it's 34:13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So this is like the Holy Spirit within you just counseling you in the morning. Just say, you know what? Keep your tongue from evil. Mm. And your lips from speaking deceit. So it's your redeemed soul speaking to your soul. Or the Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you speaking that. And then, and I just love this one. And if you prayed this every morning, I'm sure that God would not be upset. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So here's a prayer appealing to the outside, you know, that God looking down on your life and calling you to do the good works that he's created for you to do. Part of those good works is to have a tongue that is under his control. And so you plead to the Lord, Lord, set a guard over my mouth, because stuff happens to me and I can react in a way that, you know, that I don't want to. So guard me. keep watch over the door of my lips. So it's a beautiful thing that we even see in the Old Testament. So
it's like, lead me not into temptation.
Yeah. Oh, boy. It's a deliberate removal. So.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Now let's close. So, God, thank you so much for this whole session, Lord. We just praise you that we can be wise in your spirit as to the agenda of Satan. Lord, that every morning we have opportunity to come to you in humility and just cry out for you to set a guard over our lips, and that you can stir our hearts with your word, and you can renew our minds and confirm our hearts that we have only one master, and that is you, Lord Jesus. We are not Satan's folks, and he has no power over us. Your blood has washed us clean, and we can speak the truth in love, and we can edify, and we can build up, and you can come upon our tongues with great power.
Thank you.
And build up your church, and build up others, and just be a reflection of the beauty of what you set out to make when you created human beings that are made in your image. So, Lord, thank you for the redemption that we have in Christ. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid of the judgment, that everything that has come out of our mouths, Lord, it may be hideous as the day is long, but it has been forgiven, and it will be forgiven because the blood of Christ is infinitely pure to forgive it. So to you, Lord, get all the glory and help us to be instructed. And even now as we go into the worship, Lord, may your spirit just be abounding over every tongue in that place, that the songs that are sung, the worship that's rendered unto you, the preaching that is poured out, Lord, may it all be the tongue in its highest capacity. Lord, may the glory be all yours, and may our tongues be existing solely to give you praise and glory and reflecting the truth of hearts and minds that are renewed in Christ Jesus, Lord. Amen. To him be the glory. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.